crazy. Saved my soul.
Amen.
So good to me and what he'll do. I thank him for my church, church family. I thank him for bringing me here. 1993.
Bless the Lord, bless him. Amen.
So many good Christian friends, the people, this church. And I thank you all for your prayers.
Bless the Lord. Bless you,
sister. Because that's what keeps you going.
Amen. Amen.
This song, I don't get tired of it, no matter how much I sing it.
Amen.
Because he is God on the mountain.
That's right.
And he's God in the valley.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
I want to sing it for the Lord, but I want to sing it for Sister Betty King. She said it several times.
Amen.
Y'all pray for me, please.
Bless you. Bless your Lord's effort.
Use them to brighten my life.
Calvary to die in my stead. Why he loved me, I can't understand.
Appreciate those who have already come to the altar to pray. And you're never rushed. You don't have to quit your praying just because the song's over. You can stay long as you need to stay at the altar and do business with the Lord. And if you have your Bibles this morning, we want you to open them, please, to 1 Corinthians.
I can't spy this morning.
All right.
I want to thank the Lord for everything he's ever done for me, which
Amen.
Is many, many, many. I thank the Lord for working in my family.
Bless
touching hearts, blessing hearts.
Bless
I just thank God this
Bless
morning because he's working so good.
Amen.
And I just thank you for everything he's ever done for me and my family, dear God. And I just pray that everybody will just open your hearts and just let him touch you. It's
Bless
so
you.
Wonderful. It's
Amen.
So wonderful. Thank the Lord.
Thank you. Bless you, Sister Charlotte. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You have a Schofield Bible, be page 1225 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to read verses 1 through verse 10, and then we'll read verse 2 together this morning. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. Read verse 2 together. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. And after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he has seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful, Lord, congregation that you put before us to preach to today. But we pray because of the awesome responsibility, Lord, that we have to preach the Word of God and to preach it, Lord, in a way that be pleasing to you. Lord, as you know every heart here in this service today, there's not a person, Lord, that you don't know their situation. You don't know what's going on in their life. Lord, you don't know what they need. And so, Lord, I know that God is able to take the Word of God and to search hearts and to help people today, Lord, if they'll listen to you. Lord, give me liberty, Lord, to preach. Strengthen me. Lord, I feel weak. I pray you'll strengthen me. And Lord, I pray you'll anoint me, and I pray that God will get glory out of this service. And Lord, we ask you to do all these things today. We ask you to do it today for Jesus' sake. And Lord, we pray and ask you, Lord, to touch our hearts. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. I've been preaching a little series that I believe God gave me. And I've been preaching, you know, they have this thing. You see a lot of it today. It's almost endless about you might be. And I preached two Sundays ago on you might be a hypocrite. And I preached the last Sunday on you might be a Pharisee. And it's just endless, endless things of this you might be. And one Sunday I used the thing that you might be a redneck, and I give you some of that. The other thing was you might be a preacher. And today, just as an introduction into my message today, I want to say you might be, and it cost me $10 to find this out. I had to order this book and have it special ordered so it'd get here in time for me to have it today. And it says you might be a preacher's wife. You might be a preacher's wife if you never get to sit with your husband in church. You might be a preacher's wife if your caller ID is your best friend. You might be a preacher's wife if people think your husband only works 3 days a week. You might be a preacher's wife if you attend lots of funerals of people you never even met. You might be a preacher's wife if you don't tell your husband everything people tell you. You might be a preacher's wife if you can tell the difference between the prayer chain and the gossip meal. And it says you might be a preacher's wife if you would like to stay in bed one Sunday before you die. Amen. And you know, I think my wife will probably say this morning, I am a preacher's wife. But this morning, I want to bring a message from a text there in verse 2, where that Paul said, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, I want to give my text, but I want you to give me time to explain it this morning, because it ain't going to sound right when I give it. But I want to preach this morning on you might be saved if. Paul says here in verse number 2, Paul says, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, I want to say this morning, lest I be understood because of my text, that I do believe it ain't no soul salvation.
Amen.
I do believe that you ought to know if you're saved.
Amen.
I believe that that's the most important thing in all the world, is to know that you're saved.
Amen.
Your salvation is something you can know. John, in his writing in 1 John chapter 5, John, he knew that you ought to be able to know. He said in verse 13, these things were written that you might know that you have eternal life. John, he thought that you ought to know. Now, I want to say John said that. I mean, it's in the Bible. You can read it, and it's there for your reading and for your help. But you know, if I give you a check this morning, and on that check I had it made out for $1 million, you know, the worth of that check would depend upon whose name is signed on it. If my name is signed on it, you're going to be disappointed and I'm going to jail. But if Donald Trump's name signed on that, you're in business this morning. Well, you see, the Bible is what Jesus Christ said. And Jesus Christ, you see, Donald Trump's got the money to back up the check. I don't. Can I tell you, there's enough in Jesus Christ's account to back it up. Amen. He's got enough that he could back it up, thank God. And you know, it seemed like Bible people, They knew they were saved. They wasn't like folks you meet today that say, "I don't know if I'm saved or not," or some people tell you, "I don't believe you can know until you get there," and things like that. But you know, Paul, he talked like somebody that knowed he is saved.
Yeah.
Paul said in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12, Paul said, "I'm persuaded that he, Jesus Christ, is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." When he got ready to die, it sounded like he knew he was saved. He said, "I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He said, "Henceforth there's laid up a crown of righteousness for me, and not for me only, but all those that love his appearing." Now, Paul believed the same thing I believe. Paul's not saying in verse 2, he's not saying that you might lose your salvation, that if something happens and you get Alzheimer's or some dreaded disease like that and you can't remember these things, that you won't be saved anymore. That's not what he's saying. We have to look at it in the context of where we find it. And the context of where we find it is in chapter 15. And it's a resurrection chapter.
Right. Yeah.
And on down through there, he talks about people that believed in Christ, but they didn't believe he rose from the dead.
Right.
And he tells them in verse 12 down through verse 19, he says, "If Christ isn't risen from the dead, then you believed in vain. My preaching's in vain. Yep. My faith is in vain if Christ is not risen from the dead."
Right.
He said in verse 19, "If in this life only we have a hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." That's why there's so many miserable Baptists today.
Yes.
Because really they only believe in Jesus in this life. But you see, what he's saying here is that you can believe in vain. If you believe that Christ lived 33 years and died, and as far as your faith goes, you have believed in vain. There was a lot of people going around the early church, and they were teaching false doctrine and things like this, and they were teaching that Christ lived, that Christ died, but that he didn't rise from the dead. Paul is belaboring the point to prove to them that the gospel is not two parts. The gospel didn't say that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried. No, there's three parts to the gospel. He said Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again. Amen. Romans 10 tells us that you must believe that Christ rose from the dead to even be saved. He said, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." But I want to look here this morning, and I want to preach this morning, and I want to use that text, "You might be saved if. And I'm going to give you three things this morning, real quick this morning. And I believe that these are true. I believe if you were to come up to me, and many times people do, and they'll come up and they'll say, "Preacher, do you think I'm saved?" Well, I don't know if you are or not. I know what to tell you to get saved. I know what you need to believe to get saved. But I believe that these things I'm going to give you this morning are true. I believe that you might just be saved. Amen. You say, "What is it, Brother Rick?" Look over in Acts 9 this morning. In Acts chapter 9, we have the account there of Saul. And it says there in verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Now Saul could be likened to these ISIS people. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate the church. They persecute the church. They behead Christians. That's kind of the way Paul was. The Bible said he journeyed and he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into that city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into that street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And when he had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight, then Ananias answered, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he'd done and to the saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, Amen. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, and I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord hath, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, he hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight, forthwith he arose, was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Now I know I read a lot of verses there, and I did that for a purpose this morning. Because I wanted to read you the record of when Paul got saved. Now, I want to say this morning, I doubt if there's a soul in this building today, or probably in Glasgow, that had an experience like Saul had, or Paul had. They were blinded for 3 days. The Lord didn't speak to them, tell them to go somewhere and let somebody pray for them, and none of that happened. But my point is that Paul had a salvation experience that day. He could never escape. Paul never could forget what happened to him on that Damascus road. Brother Eddie, I believe this morning. I believe if you had a salvation experience, that you can't escape. You can't slip away from it. You can't just get away from it. I believe this morning you might be saved. Amen. Amen. I want to say this morning that every salvation experience, it needs to be a scriptural experience. Yes. You say, what do you mean? I don't find no scripture here in the account of Paul. But what we have to remember is in Acts chapter 7, Paul is mentioned in the last verse of that chapter. And there's a great preacher there named Stephen. And he preaches a long sermon. I guess he's a Baptist. He preached a long sermon. He starts in over there in the first part of the Bible, Abraham. And he goes all the way down through Moses. And then he winds up there with Jesus. If you read Acts 7 and verse 1 through verse 60, you'll find out that Brother Eddie, he preached the scriptures he had. He preached what he had. He expounded the Word of God. He took all this and then showed them that all this I was speaking about this man named Jesus. Amen. You say, Brother Rick, I'm saved. And there was no scripture involved in my salvation. That couldn't be. You see, you heard some of the preaching somewhere, or you're not saved. Amen. Somewhere somebody preached or witnessed or talked to you and told you the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You see, you got to have faith to be saved. And faith is a gift of God. But God gives the gift through the Word of God. He said, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so Paul, his salvation experience, it involved the scriptures. It involved the Word of God. And if you're saved this morning, your experience involves the Word of God, the scripture. Amen. The Bible said that when Stephen got down to the end of that great sermon, He said, you have crucified the just one. He said, you murdered the just one, the Son of God, that God has sent into the world to be a Savior. Amen. Every salvation experience must involve the Scriptures, but it also must involve the Savior. Amen. The Bible said Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Stephen was preaching about Jesus, and when they began to stone him, they didn't like his message. And when they began to stone Stephen, the Bible said, Stephen said, I see Jesus. I see him standing at the right hand of God. Well, Saul is standing there holding the clothes of people that are killing the preacher. And you see, the Word of God got a hold of him. He preached to him about Jesus. That's why when that light fell about him and a voice from heaven, he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He knew who Jesus was. And the Spirit of God is involved. In Acts 9, you see, the Bible said, Jesus spake unto him. Jesus speaks to us through the person of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. Amen. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I want you to know this morning, listen, I believe that if you've really been saved, I believe that you might be saved if you've had a scriptural salvation experience that you can't slip away from. You can't forget it. You see, some people have some type of a little old thing happen and they forget all about it. They can't tell you much about it. They don't know much about it. But I want to say, I believe that if you've had a real salvation experience, I believe that you can't just escape that. You can't just slip away from that. You just can't forget that. Amen. You see, Paul, he never forgot that. Look over in the book of Acts. And I want you to look over there about Acts 20. Acts 22. Look at Acts 22. Now this is Paul, a long time after that happened. In chapter 22, Paul is before a bunch of people. In verse 6 said, It came to pass, this is Paul speaking, that as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light about me. And I fell on the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth. You say, what is it? That's the same thing we read in chapter 9.
Amen.
You see, he can't forget it. He can't slip away from it. He can't get away from it. Look over, if you will, in chapter 26. And look at verse 14. Paul is there before Agrippa. Verse 14 said, And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, he said, whom thou persecutest. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, Paul could never get away from what happened to him on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9. If you're saved this morning, there ought to be a place back there and an experience back there that somehow or another you've never been able to get away from that. Amen. I tell you, see, I appreciate Michelle's testimony this morning. It illustrates my point. She's going back to an experience, something that happened to her a long time ago. You know why us people that do, why that we get up and give her testimony over and over and over again. You know why us preachers get to preaching and then we'll put her testimony in her preaching. You might think, well, they didn't study this week. They don't have nothing else to say. And so they're going to fill it in with their testimony. No, that ain't the case. You see what it is. That's so deep inside a person. That's such a real thing inside a person. That is the greatest thing that ever happened in their life. And they can't get away from it. Amen. That's why they tell it over and over and over again. again. I remember old Bob Jones Sr. And I remember him going to Hammond, Indiana and preached for Jack Hiles. And he got senile. He'd already got where he couldn't even hardly remember his name. And he had him up there to preach. Brother Hiles had already told him now he's going to be a little senile. He's in Alzheimer's. And old Bob Jones Sr. walked up there and he read his scripture and he said, "Did he ever tell you about when I got saved?" And he told him about when he got saved. Well, about 5 minutes later, he said, "Did I ever tell you about when I got saved?" And about 5 minutes later, I think some 20 times in that space of sermon time that he told him about when he got saved. You say, why is that? That's because that's so deep in the heart of that old man that he couldn't get rid of it. Amen. It was deeper than anything else. He done forgot everything else. But he still remembered when he got saved. Amen. I thought about Brother Chuck Bolden, sweet man. Amen. He's up in heaven today. And he's such a sweet man. And he got Alzheimer's. There at one point, he didn't even know who Linda was. Rod, you don't know this, but he reached a point there during that Alzheimer's. He didn't know who Linda was. And he thought she was a strange woman in his house. She said, "Brother Rick, I don't know what to do." She said, "He thinks we're not married. He won't even let me get my own bed because he says we're not married." And so we come up with the idea where we just get married. Amen. And so one Sunday night after service, Linda come down and Chuck come down. And I did the marriage ceremonies. And he said, "I do." And she said, "She did." He's all right after that. But he didn't know who Linda was. But during that time, I've seen Chuck Bowen and stand back there. Brother Greg, I've seen him stand back there at invitation time and testimony time. I've heard him stand up and he'll say, "He's been so good to me. He's done more for me. He done something for me nobody else could ever do." You see, he had Alzheimer's, Eddie. It took away a lot of things. I went down deep seated in the spirit and soul of that sweet man of God. That was a salvation experience that was real. Amen. That's what I'm saying this morning.
Amen.
You had a salvation experience that you can't just slip away from.
That's right. Monumental.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I got saved when I was 10 years old. I rededicated. Some said there ain't no such a thing. Well, I did something.
Amen, Brother Rick.
I know I needed to rededicate some things.
Get the cross back up.
I went to the altar and a preacher come down this side and met me there. He didn't know me. He said, "Son, do you need to be saved?" And I guess my fleshly part of me would have answered that, yeah. But the spiritual part, the Holy Ghost inside of me, it gave me the answer before I could even really think about it. And I said, "No, sir, I've not been saved when I was a young boy. But I said, I need to rededicate my life to God." Amen.
Amen.
I'm saying this morning, listen, something happened to me by there. If I was just going by a lot of things, I'd say I got saved at Brotherhood Church when I was a 25-year-old man. But I know down in my heart, I was a 10-year-old boy at Third Temple Hill Baptist Church. I know that God saved me that day on the altar. And I've never been able to get over that. Amen. I don't want to get over that, man. I told God this morning that I have a salvation experience in my past. That's real to me this morning. I tell you, we need to be telling him more. We need to be standing up and telling more. You say they get tired of hearing it. You ain't telling them. You're telling the Lord that he don't never get tired of hearing it. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory.
Yeah. You can't evade it.
Bless you, baby.
You've had a salvation experience you can't evade. You can't just slip away from it.
Right. Praise the Lord.
Look over in Acts 9. Verse 1 and 2. This is this same man, Paul. And he said, "I say the truth in Christ. Mm-hmm. I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost." Watch verse 2. "That I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. For I can wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh. Number one, you might be saved if you have a salvation experience that you can't escape. It's deep, it's real, it's scriptural. It involves the Savior. Amen.
Amen.
But then you might be saved if you have a sorrow that you can't eradicate.
Amen.
You say, what's that mean? That means to do away with. That means to do away with as if to pull up by the roots. Have you ever went out and cut down a dandelion and wasn't a week or two later it's back up again? The reason it's back up is because you didn't take it up by the roots. Amen. When you got saved, it's automatic. It came with salvation. When you got saved, you immediately have got a sorrow in your heart and wanted to see other people get saved.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm not saying you go around crying all the time. But you didn't care if the whole world went to hell before you got saved.
Right.
But once you get saved,
amen.
Amen. I remember the day I got saved. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
I went to the altar. God saved me. We got in the 62 Chevrolet, started home. I cried all the way home in the back seat. We got home. I went back to my bedroom, laid on my bunk bed, and I cried all evening. My dear mother come back there many times during that afternoon and interrogated me and questioned me and wanted to know why her son was crying.
Bless him, Lord.
Finally, about 3 o'clock that evening, Mama said, son, is it your dad? Is that what it is? And I said, it is, Mama.
Bless him, Lord.
Daddy's sitting over there, and I heard Mama go down the hall, and I heard her say, Linus, Ricky's been in there crying all evening, and he wants you to go to church with him tonight. My dad went to church with me that night, and the preacher gave the invitation, and I went down to the altar. My dad went down there, and he lined us all up. We gave testimonies. My dad gave one that night. But you see, what I'm saying is, when I got saved that morning, I immediately become so concerned about my family members. Amen. What I'm saying is, listen, when you get saved, you may not go around weeping all the time, but there's something in you that wasn't in there before. And when you get around people that ain't saved, it bothers you. If you know your family's not saved, if you know your neighbor's not saved, it bothers you. You say, why? Because you got a continual sorrow in your heart. That's Paul did when he got saved. He wanted to see other people saved.
Amen.
I believe that this morning.
Amen.
You say, why is that? Well, Isaiah 53, the Bible says that, speaking of Jesus, he said he's a man of sorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
But when I got saved, the Holy Spirit came in to live inside of me.
Yeah.
Third person of the Trinity.
Yeah.
Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
They're all in agreement. They all work the same way.
Right.
You see, that ain't me that's caring if people get saved.
Right. Yeah.
Because me didn't care before I got saved.
Right.
I didn't care.
Right.
But Jerry, when I got saved, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, it came to live in me, and He cares, amen. He cares if people get saved. That's why it's a supernatural thing. That's why that sometimes you care, but you don't do what you ought to do. It's because your flesh is raining more than your spirit. But when your spirit's raining, you'll pass out tracts, you'll pray for people, you'll give out the gospel, you'll try to get people saved. Amen. There's a sorrow. There's a sorrow. It's a special sorrow.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Psalm 126 said, he that go forth weeping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing.
Woo.
And bringing his sheaves with him. Somebody said, they ain't got nothing to do with soul winning. Well, it does this morning. I'm preaching.
Amen, brother.
Amen. And what's he saying? He's talking about a special sorrow that moves you to do something.
Yeah, right.
Old Roger Duncan, he's a great preacher down in Florida. He's got old now, got a Parkinson's, some other things, and he had to give up his church, but he's a great preacher. And Roger said when he was a young boy going to church, he said they had a Sunday school teacher named Jim Markham. And he said that him and some other boys were in that class, and they were so mean, like some of the boys we've had here over the years. And he said that they were so rowdy that he couldn't teach the class, and he got so disgusted and discouraged that one day he began to cry. He just started crying. He said, "Boys, y'all are so mean, I can't even tell you about Jesus. I can't even tell you that Jesus loves you. You won't even let me teach my class." And he said, them boys grown up. He said about 25 years, 30 years later, he was over in a camp meeting, and he said this man come up to him.
Bless him, Lord.
And he said, "Brother Duncan," he said, "you don't remember me, do you?" He said, "No, son, I'm sorry. I can't really say I know who you are." And he said, "Well," he said, "I used to be in your Sunday school class." And he said, "I remember one morning that we were so disruptive and so bad that you broke down in crying."
Bless the Lord.
He said, "Mr. Duncan," he said, "I can't remember your lesson that day.
Bless him.
But I remember your tears."
Yeah.
Amen.
He said, "I'm saved now." And he said, I never could get away from that.
Amen. Woo!
You say, "What are you saying?" I'm saying that you'll have a sorrow that sometimes will move you to tears.
Amen.
Have you ever been talking to some lost person,
yes,
and just the fountains of the deep break up, and out of nowhere the tears start coursing down your face?
Yes. Amen.
But I tell you, that's the Spirit of God inside you. Amen. It's a suggestive sorrow. It showed them boys that Mr. Duncan loved them.
Yeah.
Amen. He loved them.
Amen.
There was a man named Hop Hadley. Hop Hadley was a crippled preacher. And he had to walk kind of like that because he had one leg that was crippled and shorter than the other one. But he had a tremendous burden for souls. He loved lost people. And one day he was out in a big tent meeting, and he seen a man that he'd been trying to talk to. And the man, he looked back and he saw him coming his way. And the man just started going faster, and he started going faster. Finally, the man took off running, and of course he couldn't run. When he just leaned up against the tent pole there, and he started to cry. In a few minutes, somebody picked him on the shoulder, and he turned around, Jack, and it was that man.
Listen.
He said, "Mr. Hadley," he said, "I could outrun you. I could get away from you, but when I see you crying, I couldn't outrun your tears." I want to say, listen, I thank God, if you have a sorrow in your heart for people to be saved, you just might be saved. Amen.
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 Amen. Look over in 1 Peter 1. Look at verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, mm-hmm, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Notice verse 8. "Whom having not seen, you love. And whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory."
Amen.
You might be saved if you've had a salvation experience.
Amen.
But you can't evade. You might be saved if you've had a sorrow for other people to be saved that you can't escape.
Yeah.
Now listen to this. You might be saved if you have a special love for somebody you can't explain.
Amen, Brother Rick.
You say, "What do you mean, Brother Rick?" We love him because he first love does.
Yes.
Can I tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is loved by more people that haven't seen Him than have seen Him.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
You say, Brother Rick, I don't understand how you can love somebody you can't see. Oh, surely you must.
Bless you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
This dear wife, this dear mother,
yeah,
she's going tomorrow to give birth to their grandbaby.
Yeah, right.
Hey.
She ain't never seen it.
Bless you, Lord.
Yeah. But do you love it?
Amen. Come on, man.
Amen.
Come on, man.
Hey.
She ain't never seen it. Have you already talked to her?
Bless him, Lord.
She ain't never seen it. Have you sung to her?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
She loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she ain't never seen it.
Right.
She loves it. She talks to it, but she ain't never seen it.
Hey.
She loves it. She sings to it.
Hey.
But she ain't never seen it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Brother Nathan, I love somebody.
Bless him, Lord.
I ain't never seen him,
amen,
but I love him.
Amen, brother.
I ain't never seen him, Eddie, but I talk to him. I ain't never seen him. I ain't never seen him, but I sing to him. I tell you, it's a love that you can't explain. How do you explain loving somebody that was born 2,000 years ago? And you've never seen him. How do you explain that?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Easy, amen.
Amen.
I love him.
Amen, Brother Rick. Amen.
I ain't never seen him. Brother Eddie.
Made him all.
But he's been taking care of my need.
Amen.
Amen.
He'll do it.
Amen.
You're right, brother.
Promised he would, his good shepherd.
Amen. He's been filling my tank up with gas.
Yeah.
Putting shoes on my feet, clothes on my back.
Amen.
Groceries on my table.
Yeah. Amen, Brother Rick.
Amen. He's supplying for me. I ain't never seen him.
Right,
I read in a book in my office about a man that had a bunch of kids, about 10 kids. And he was a young man, relatively young, but he got tragically ill and he died. And the family had no visible means of support, and of course the mother had to take care of all them kids. But he had an elder brother that lived a long ways off. And that elder brother, he went and found out about his brother passing away. And he started finding out them kids' birthdays. He started finding out the when they was in school and finding out the needs, and he'd mail them a check, and all their life he'd supply what they needed. They never seen him, Eddie, but he'd supply what they needed. But if you went and asked them, do you love your uncle? They never see him, and they say, yeah, I love him because he supplied for me. He's took care of me. He's put clothes on my back. He sent money for my bills. I'm telling you this morning, thank God. I want you to know I ain't never seen him. But glory to God, he supplied for me now for all these years.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I love him. Amen. I love him. Our country's overrun with immigrants. And you know, the laws are strict. It's hard. And I know that there's some here illegally because it would cost them too much to get legal. And they'd have to leave with the possibility of maybe never getting back, or they'd have to pay large sums of money. You know, because of that, there's a lot of immigrants here from other countries. And they came when they was young, and they've never got to see their grandma or their grandpa. They never got to see some of their aunts and uncles. They never got to see them. They talked to them on the phone, or they talked to them through the email, or they corresponded through a letter, but they never seen them. But if you were to ask him, do you love him? He'd say, oh yes, I love him. That's my uncle. I've never met him, but I love him. You see, I got an elder brother. Y'all get this?
Amen.
I got an elder brother, Eddie.
Amen, brother.
I ain't never seen him, but I've been corresponding with him.
Amen.
I ain't never seen him, but we've been talking. And I love him.
Amen.
The love I can't explain.
That's right.
It's a special love. Amen.
Amen.
It's a saving love. I read about a mister, I believe it was Trowbridge or something like that. He's a truck driver from North Carolina, driving across the country. As he drove across the country, he got a long ways from home over on the coast, and there was an accident, and his truck was involved in the accident. His truck burst into flames, and he was there in the cab, but he was unconscious. But unknowing to him, unseen hands reached in and pulled him out of the fire.
Yeah.
Amen. Took him to where he could get care and safety. When he realized what had happened, and he found out the people involved and the names and where they lived, he made a long, long trip. Said, I want to thank you.
Amen.
For coming by. I want to thank you. For pulling me out of the fire.
Amen.
Yeah.
I want to thank you.
Yeah.
But even though I didn't see him before I even met you, I loved you. Because you saved me.
Yes,
right.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, one day I was in the fire, Charlie.
Yeah.
Amen.
Glory to God. And I didn't even realize what was going on.
Amen, brother.
But somebody came by.
Amen.
And pulled me out of the fire.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
And one of these
days, glory to God.
Yeah. Right.
I love him, and I ain't never seen him.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I love him because he pulled me out of that fire.
Amen.
Amen.
But one of these days, Eddie, I'm going to take a long trip.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
One of these days, I'm going to take a long trip.
Amen.
I'm going to meet him. I want to get down at his feet, and I want to say, thank you, sir, for pulling me out of the fire. Thank you for saving me. When I couldn't save myself, I'm telling you this morning, listen, you might be saved if you have a special love you cannot explain.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
That all three of these parts are true in my life.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray for all of us here this morning. Lord, it's important. It's of the utmost importance. It's the most important thing in all of our earthly life is to know that we're saved. To know that we're saved. God, as I've preached to the outside of these folks, I pray you preach to the inside. And there might be some this morning that, like this sermon did to me, it just awakened some chords in my heart that hadn't been strung for a long time. It might be that they just need to come, get out on the altar, just worship and thank you, Lord, who even though we haven't seen you, we love you. Then, Lord, there may be someone here today, maybe several, they realize this morning, I've never been saved. I've never been saved. God, I pray the Spirit of God can deal with their hearts.
Yes, Lord.
They might walk down to this altar and be willing to repent of their sin, to forsake their sins. Be willing to trust Christ as their Savior. To be saved today by the grace of God. Lord, I pray this morning to have your way in this sermon, this service. The Spirit of the Lord's been here during the preaching. And may the Spirit of the Lord be here during the invitation. Make it easy for folks to come.
Yes, Lord.
Hold the devil and the demons back. Help them to come and get them in a place here It's not the place that's important. It's what you did at that place. You believe the gospel. You receive Christ into your heart. That's what makes the place so special. Help folks today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand if you would, please. Let's stand in the praise this morning.
124.
Just as I am.
Bless your heart.
We're going to get baptized this evening.
Amen.
Other young man's going to get baptized this evening too.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Somebody else have a word.
Glory.
Testimony to somebody else.
Brother Rick, I'm going to thank the Lord for saving me. I'm going to thank the Lord for being with Hannah that day, that morning.
Amen.
You know, and I know he's going to be with her these next 3 months while she's sitting in that wheelchair. And just, he's going to help her walk again. I know that. But Hannah's got a long road ahead of her. And I appreciate y'all prayers and the cards and the phone calls. And Hannah does too. And I told Hannah, I said, Hannah, the Lord saved you twice. It may not be no third time.
Yeah.
I've got a lot to think about. And so y'all just keep Hannah and Donnie and Crystal and me and y'all's prayers, because we've got a lot to go through with Hannah. And, you know, I just keep thanking the Lord every day that he saved her for me. When I got to TJ, they told me she was going to go, they were going to stoplight her. And then when you get down there, they come out and tell you that she's going to be in a wheelchair for a while. You know, your heart just crumbles for her.
Sure.
She's just a young girl. And I asked the Lord, why, Hannah, why does all this keep happening in my life? But when I turned my life over, and I knew the Lord has helped me with a lot in the past year. But, you know, God's help, he's going to get me through all this.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. All right, somebody else today. Brother Marty.
Last Thursday, August 13th, when I celebrated salvation, I worked for 37 years.
Amen.
Or I hope that's 8. August 13th, 1978, I wrote a Freedom of Baptist Church.
Amen. All right, anybody else today for a testimony? Yes.
I just want to thank the Lord for his service today.
Amen.
I want to thank you for all that he's done for me and my family, all the ways he's taken care of us, and I just want to ask you all to pray for me. I know I've requested this before, but the lady I work with is lost, and every time I start talking to her about anything, she starts crying and she'll leave. But pray that Lord will give me the opportunity and the words to say what I need to.
Amen, yes. Amen. All right, Brother Eddie.
I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me, Brother Rick, being big here today, hear this great message, how true it was, how true he is, all he does. I was in the fire and didn't know it, and he pulled me out. And I want to see him. I thank him. Looking forward to that day.
Amen. All right, yes.
I'd like to thank the Lord for my salvation. I'm kind of tear up a little bit, everyone. We have to go with that. God knows what I'm doing.
Amen.
You just don't know what it's like, and if you've never been saved, to have God walking alongside of you.
Amen.
He's going to put his arm around you and said, everything will be all right.
Yeah.
And if you believe, he will be, but he'll take care of you.
Sure he will.
So he has took care of me for this place, three months?
Yes,
he's been there with me every minute. I had no worry.
Amen.
I didn't worry about anything. I know he's a man.
Amen.
He's the doctor. He's
good.
Great position.
I just want to thank you today for his salvation, his mercy, and his love for Charlie.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Charlie. Keep Charlie in your prayers. Yes.
I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. I just want to thank you for always being with me during this last year with Mama and where he's brought her from and what she can do now and all her things just changed for the better.
Amen. Amen. All right, praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, if all hearts are clear today, we're going to ask you bow your heads for dismissal prayer this morning. Then I ask Brother Jack Richardson if he would dismiss us.
Father in heaven, just thank you, Lord, for another good service.
Yes. Tonight. Thank you, Lord.
I pray for the service tonight, Lord God.
Yes.
I pray,
yes.
Father, be with us today. We go separate ways, Lord. Guide us back to you, Lord God, tonight, Lord. Father, just be with each and every heart, each and every mind, Lord God. We go out and tell others about what the preachers had spoken today, Lord God. I pray, Father, just be with us and guide us and protect us in all things your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.